I'm coming down with you guys today. I used to always be told that I shouldn't come down here because I was too short and people wouldn't see me, but I think you can see me. You know, I have to ask you a question. You know, there's in this day and age, you know, there is a whole lot of discussion about, you know, energy. And, you know, and I want you to think for yourself, you know, where do you usually sit? Do you sit on the side of fossil fuels, or do you sit on the side of renewables, or do you sit somewhere in the middle? Where do you sit? Well, I'm going to tell you about an energy source that is the most renewable source that you've ever heard before in your life. It is a clean source of energy, and it is one that is free and usually not utilized too awfully much. And that energy source is called the Holy Spirit. That's what we celebrate today. Today is the Feast of Pentecost. Actually, believe it or not, this feast should really be extra special for me. I got ordained to the diaconate back in 1989 on the feast day of Pentecost, which your son drove in to be there. And, he's sitting outside, sorry. And you know, it's so interesting to me because on the day of Pentecost, that's when the Holy Spirit descends. It's the time when people a lot of times in the church talk about sending forth, you know, to go out. It's about the time when the church is formed. But it's all formed and it's all sent out. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about that energy source that to me I see rarely used in this world. That energy source that is called the Holy Spirit. That, just to make a point, is clean, is renewable, and is absolutely free because it's a gift given to you. Briefly about the Holy Spirit, let me give you a little bit of background on it. Don't forget, Jesus, when he raises from the dead, for 40 days he walks with the disciples. At that point, after walking with the disciples for 40 days, he ascends into heaven. But he says, wait in Jerusalem until the gift of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He gives them the instructions of what they're supposed to do. He says to them, this is your job. You know, go forth in all the world, you know, into, you know, Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And, you know, be my witnesses. Go out there and do that. But wait for the Holy Spirit to come to go do that. Wait. They have to wait 10 days. 10 days until the Pentecost comes, which is what we celebrate today. And then the Holy Spirit comes on. What's that Holy Spirit do? You know, let me read some scriptures to you that give you a brief understanding. The first thing it does is that the Holy Spirit comes because Jesus says very clearly, I will never leave you abandoned. In other words, you'll never be alone. There'll be a presence of God that is with you, whether you want it or not. It's going to be present with you. Now, whether you use it or not, that's up to you, basically. But I will never abandon you. Then in Romans, he says this, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. In other words, the Spirit, when we don't have the ability to pray in of ourselves, we don't know how to pray. Maybe it's an illness that's gone on for years and years, and you just don't know what to pray for anymore. Maybe it's a child or a spouse that's just sort of, you know, out there, and you don't know what to do to pray for them. That the Spirit in itself, so when you key into the Spirit actually groans and prays for you. The book of John says very clearly, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. In other words, the Spirit of truth is going to come into you. It's going to lead you. It's going to bring you along. It's going to keep you right up in pace. Corinthians says, but God has revealed it to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. That Spirit of God is within you, and it reflects and tells you all that God wants, his will for you. He tells you what's going on. John again says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. It teaches you. Romans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And finally, even in the Old Testament, there are scriptures. Nehemiah, you gave your good Spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. You gave your good Spirit to instruct them. In other words, the Holy Spirit leads you so that you're always connected to God, that you're not abandoned. You should never be alone. You might feel lonely, but you'll never be alone. That it intercedes for you, prays for you, teaches you, leads you, guides you, comforts you. It does all those things. But how many of us really utilize the Holy Spirit? I mean, let's put it on the line here. How many of us really utilize the Holy Spirit in the fullness of what's available to you in the Holy Spirit? How many of us actually wait and listen to the Holy Spirit? I mean, really get by ourselves and say, let me listen for what it's telling me. Listen to what it's teaching. Listen. Most of us strike out on our own. We strike out on our own. Well, I'm going to learn, so I'll read the scriptures. I'll do that. But how many of us really do that in coordination with the Spirit? You know, it made me start to think about the Holy Spirit. And I have to tell you, as I was thinking about it, I thought to myself, well, I wonder what the church would be like. I wonder what the believers would be like if there was never given the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus came, died on the cross, rose from the dead, walked this earth to prove that he had overcome death, and then said to the disciples on that ascension day, 10 days ago, said, you know, I want you to be my witnesses in all of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I want you to go do that. Baptize in the name of the Father and the Son. You know, if he said all that, and then he just descended to heaven and nothing else happened. I wonder what would have happened had there been no Holy Spirit. You know, as I tried to contemplate what would go on, I looked back at the scriptures that actually you read so well, Sherry, you know, which those names are tough, okay? And all of a sudden I came to that line where actually the Holy Spirit descends upon the disciples. They all start speaking in tongues, each in, you know, they're all Galileans basically, and they're speaking in the languages of the Medes and the Parthians and the Philians and all those people, okay? They're speaking in all those languages. And then all of a sudden, what do the people say that are there, the Jews that are saying? Obviously, they're drunk. But then the part that made me laugh was the part that comes after that, where Peter says, they can't be drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, you're talking to a guy who's been in recovery from alcoholism for 26 years. And let me tell you something. 27 years ago, 9 o'clock in the morning would have been a late start sometimes. And I started to think to myself, what would it have been like to not have the Spirit? And as I started to think about it, I came across with some of my understanding of alcoholism that what it would be like, I think, would be what it's like for a dry drunk without Spirit. A dry drunk. Let me give you the definition of a dry drunk. A dry drunk is a person with chemical dependency issues who has given up alcohol and drugs but made no internal, emotional, or behavioral changes. In other words, no transformation of their life. Essentially, the only difference in these individuals is the absence of the substance. The popular analogy in recovery is, if you sober up a horse thief, what do you get? A sober horse thief. In other words, nothing really changes except you take out the substance. What would a Christian be like without the presence of the Holy Spirit? Let me give you some of the characteristics that I think go for a dry drunk and for a dry Christian. First thing is superiority. You think you're better than somebody else all the time. There's no humility. Second of all, you're impulsive. You're impulsive. I mean, you snap decisions. I make those decisions. You have negative judgment. In other words, you look for the bad in the world, not the good in the world. Your first choice is to go towards the negative. And the next one is you're complacent. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anyway, no matter what goes on. Next one is restless, irritable, discontent. no peace. In other words, you can't really get. You always got to get churned up. It's always got to be the drama. The next one is feeling listless, and you overreact. You know, I'll be upfront with you. I have that one sometimes very clearly. On Memorial Day night, I decided to take a ride on my bike out with Sally onto the beach, and we rode down, Atlantic. I got to where I had the flow of traffic. I was on, going down Atlantic, and I was trying to come to 27th right there by the 7-Eleven. And as I was going through, the intersection, a car that was at the stop line, I had the right of way, he did not, jumped towards me, and I had to jump off my bike. Do you know what happened at that moment? The evil eye came out. I lost it. I don't even want to tell you what I said. I just was, you think it's funny? And they're saying, let it go. Let it go. My wife is, in a puddle over there. I'm like, ah. And I'm like, the evil eye, I was impulsive. I didn't stop and think, well, it could have been a mistake. I didn't like it that they laughed at me. I was taking it really way so seriously. And I just lost. You think it's funny? And when I go the evil eye, I'll be upfront with you. I don't remember how big they are and how small I am. I don't remember how young they are and how old I am. I just have the evil eye. You know what? That's overreacting. Engaging in euphoric recall. In other words, where you sit there and say, life's a mess now. Remember the good old days? Everything was perfect back in those days. Magical thinking, I call it. It's where you have that fantasy of what was said. Have you ever had and been in conversation, maybe you with them or them with you, where all of a sudden you hear something said, and what you hear them said, they, didn't say that. And somehow you've construed this into something much larger and wilder and crazier than what anything was said. There was no intent of that at all. And yet you've changed it. You become defensive. And the negativity just permeates everything. In other words, you don't see much good out there. You don't see the hand of God at work in anything. You just see the destruction of everything going on. In alcoholism, whenever you do it, they say, if you have three or more of these traits, then you really need to look into this. I think I've got more than three or more of these traits. Do you? The question is, do you? Because if you do, then there is a good chance that you are operating from the perspective of not allowing that free gift of energy, that resource that's been given to you. Because the Holy Spirit brings something different into you, doesn't it? What do they say the fruits of the Spirit are? Love, peace, patience, kindness. It brings in something where you see the good in people. You don't just see the bad in people. Where all of a sudden you can listen to somebody else's conversation, even if they're wrong, and it's different than you, you can listen to them, and you can actually have a conversation. When you're dry of spirit, you can't do that, because everything surrounds you. You become the center of the universe. And part of the reason why I believe that God gave us the Holy Spirit on Pentecost was to remind us that we are not the center of the universe. That it's not all about us. Although sometimes I wish it was. But it's not about us. It's about Him. And trusting in Him and being with Him. And walking with Him. And listening to Him. Being guided by Him. Being taught by Him. So often in times we take sort of what I believe the disciples might have done had they not been told to stay put and wait for the Holy Spirit. Where we take God's direction and we go out there and by God we gut it through. And at the end of it we say, I did what you wanted me to do, God, and so I'm good. But really we did it all on our own energy and we're exhausted and we're miserable. And we may have done what He wanted, but we did it in all the wrong ways, which wipes out all of His will. How many times do you do that with your own children? You say all the right things at all the wrong times. God wants the Holy Spirit to permeate us in every aspect of our life. So why is it so hard for us to do that? Why is it? I think it's because God basically says, Jesus said real clearly, wait for the Holy Spirit to come to you. And most of us don't want to wait. We want to go with what we have right now. To wait means you've got to be actively waiting. It means you got to be actually listening. You got to meditate. You got to be quiet. You got to go with inside yourself. And most of us want to do what we want to do when we want to do it and not sort of wait on the Lord. Why do you have to wait on the Lord? Well, I believe you got to wait on the Lord for one real clear reason. You got to wait so you can slow down enough to catch up with Him. Otherwise, you're going to be out ahead of Him at every turn. And you probably, if you're out ahead of Him, you probably aren't doing what He wants. You may think you're doing what He wants, but you're probably not doing what He wants. Because the truth of the matter is part of this whole dynamic of relationship with God that we walk through as Christians is to be with Him. See, Christianity is much more about being than it is about doing. And when we are actually with God, being with Him, then we do what we're supposed to do. But when we just do for Him, we aren't being with Him. Any of you who are married know exactly what I mean. Have you ever had your spouse say, you know, let's just do this together? And you think, do it together? It'll be easier to do it myself. And you step out there with your spouse, and you might go out and do it, but the whole purpose of doing it wasn't to get the job done. The purpose of doing it was being together. That's like saying, let's go to a movie, but we'll go to, you know, the same movie at separate times. That's crazy. But we have no sense of that waiting. We were in Bible study the other day, and I love this. Somebody said real clearly, you know, I've got to pray for patience. And one other person in the Bible said, oh, don't do that. It'll make you miserable, basically. It's agony if you ask for patience. And it was funny because all of a sudden I said, you know, that's true. Because so often we pray for patience because, to tell you the truth, we think, I can't do it on my own. I've got to have God give it. But the truth of the matter is that we have to choose patience. Why do we choose patience? Because we got to pick it. Because it's part of what God gives to you. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, peace, patience, kindness, forbearance, and so on. You pick those pieces of fruit. And when you pick those pieces of fruit, you don't have to pray for them. It's already been given to you. But you pick those and you live out that. And the Spirit then, which intercedes for you, brings you patience. Because you've picked patience. And God works through you. You know? At the 8:30 service, I looked at my watch at this point and said, well, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Maybe we ought to get drunk with the Holy Spirit. It's a little after 11. It's still before 5. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Can you get drunk with the Holy Spirit? Can you set yourself aside enough to trust? Can you set yourself aside enough to say, you know, I don't want to be negative anymore. I don't want to go in those directions anymore where all of us see, and I see danger, danger, danger at every turn. I want to know that God's hand is at work, and I'm going to choose that the Holy Spirit will work through me. I want Him to pray through me. I want to work with Him. I want Him to educate me. I want to feel the comfort that is available to you by just being in the Holy Spirit's arms. And then to learn how to live. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Come. Come to the Holy Eucharist and wait on the Holy Spirit. So that you can actually be with the Holy Spirit that's already in you. Get quiet enough so that you can see what you already have. It's been in there forever. And then walk with Him and talk with Him. And let Him tell you that you are His own. Because He loves you. And He's been with you. And if you want life in all its fullness, then buy into that renewable, clean, free sense of energy that is available to you this day. Through the gift of God. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Please stand with me.